Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's holiday season, and you don't know what to get as a gift or a stocking stuffer? Well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee you'll win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. It's called the Performance Package, and inside you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, liquid formulations, as well as two free gifts. Be the ballsiest gift giver this holiday season with Manscaped by using code DNVR for free shipping and, more importantly, 20% off. That's your first pitch. Now let's play ball. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Strava CBD Coffee will improve the quality of your morning since it's rich in CBD and CBG and can be delivered to your doorstep every 2, 4, 6, or 8 weeks, however frequently you need. Their CBD-infused coffee has got me feeling great since it can help with chronic headaches, joint pains, and so much more than that. Plus, you get zero coffee jitters should you happen to want 3 or 4 cups a day, which is typically my style. And now you can get 25% off your first purchase when you use code DNVR25 at Strava Craft Coffee. I am your host, Patrick Lyons, and on today's DNVR Rockies podcast, we'll break down the shortstop market right now for the Colorado Rockies, as it does appear that Trevor Story will likely have played his last game at Coors Field in purple. We'll talk about a couple of Winter League updates, players from the Rockies organization, and a couple others that are still doing their thing down in the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. We'll see about their progress. Give you a couple of CBA updates, but really spend a decent amount of time talking about the Hall of Fame news, which players got into the Hall of Fame, how many. And yes, I will tell you this one spoiler alert. The group does include a player who played professionally in Colorado. Yes, we just added one with Larry Walker this past summer. Sure, a true Colorado ball player as a member of the Colorado Rockies. But we do have someone that did play a season professionally in Colorado. May interest you and intrigue you to see who that is. But right now, let's start off by talking about the Rockies' shortstop market. Over the weekend, one less opportunity and one less option for the Rockies was taken off the market as Freddy Galvis did sign a deal over in Japan with the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. He was a player that was probably going to be one of the cheapest options, maybe along with a Jonathan VR and maybe even Jose Iglesias as players who you could plug in at shortstop. You know you're going to get some consistent production, average to above average defense, and really just plug up the hole for a year until Ezekiel Tovar is ready, he being the top shortstop prospect with the Rockies right now. And he's still at least 2 years away, could come up, could continue to develop as well as he's been. He was very impressive over the Arizona Fall League when I got to see him up close and personal. His defense, I would say, is probably major league ready, would be able to provide at least average defense at shortstop, maybe a tick above right now at 20 years old. But of course, his bat needs a little bit more developing. Wouldn't be too crazy to say we could see him as early as summer of 2023, but that's a lot of pressure to heap on him. You're probably going to need someone for the next 2 years or a group of players for the next 2 years. So Galvis will not be one of those options. Some of the external players that are available in free agency, as I said, Jose Iglesias, I think, could be a good fit financially, especially if the Rockies are going to go out and add a lot more money to the outfield and maybe even the bullpen and for a number five starter. It really all depends in the greater context of things who you're getting. No one is going to be able to replace Trevor Story right now. And I don't think you can do that. I don't think it's fair to say you have to bring in someone that's going to provide the same production as Trevor Story. We know that wasn't the case with Nolan Arenado, and McMahon got to do his own thing and was fantastic, was by some metrics even better than Nolan Arenado over at third base. And to compare those two is really a fool's errand. And so I think the same is going to be true for whoever they bring in to shortstop. Now, Nico Goodrum is a player that on Friday, our guest from Rockspile, Noah Yingling, did make reference to Nico Goodrum, who was okay in bits and pieces for Detroit. He would really be almost a zero war player, maybe even plays up a little bit offensively because of Coors Field, but he is not a long-term option. And to go with a player that doesn't have as proven of a track record could be setting yourself up for failure, because shortstop, as we talked about last week with Drew Goodman, is not one of those positions where typically you see platooning. In fact, you don't see platooning at shortstop. Up the middle, it just doesn't really happen quite that much at shortstop. Center field, you don't frequently see that happening there. And so to do that at shortstop, because you just need that everyday consistent defense, that's not going to happen. And if you put all your eggs in the Nico Goodrum basket, that could be a recipe for disaster. Jonathan Villar, also going to be pretty cheap. I am not a huge fan of his. I know he's a decent clubhouse guy, can kind of go on his own. He's bounced around from a lot of teams. Usually that does signal some things. I remember seeing him back, I believe it was 2018, when he was down in AAA playing for the Sky Sox in the Brewers organization. He was none too pleased with being down in AAA because he was a big league ball player, and he's proven that in the 3 years since then. But I don't know that he's a fit in the clubhouse. Really, the only other external candidate besides Jose Iglesias, who I'd be glad to see at Coors Field, would be Andrelton Simmons. He's got a great track record, multiple Gold Glove Award winner, Platinum Glove Award winner. Isn't going to give you a lot on the offensive side, but could end up playing up. Wouldn't surprise me, I'll say, to see him representing the Rockies as an all-star at shortstop, benefiting from the Coors Field bump that a lot of players offensively will get in that first year. Raise some eyebrows and say, hey, he's always been really good defensively, and now the bat's coming along. Sure, Colorado might be helping that just a little bit, but nevertheless, Simmons is going to be the most expensive option in the free agent market. Now, I also think there are several trade candidates that are going to be quite enticing, and really that's going to be out of the Rockies' hands. It will be more about what the team that has these players, which I'll mention in just a second, what they're going to do in the free agent market. Are they going to target Carlos Correa? Are they going to sign Trevor Story or do something else? If so, their current shortstop options become almost null and void. And a couple of these are backups and players who have essentially been beaten out for the starting shortstop job, but could be good, cheap, relatively speaking, options. Paul DeJong has been a player that I've mentioned a few times. He'll be making about $18 million over the next 2 years. He's got buyouts for $2 and $3 million. That's what bumps it up to $18 million. He should be getting about $6 million in 2022, a little more than $9 million in 2023, but there's about $3 million in buyouts. He also has options beyond that. So DeJong could be a real good option for Colorado going forward. His price is certainly not going to be cheap. And really, if DeJong ends up coming to Colorado, it very well could mean that Arenado has been reunited with Trevor Story in St. Louis. And so that is quite the consolation prize. But if something else happens, and Edmundo Sosa maybe becomes the option for St. Louis, which we saw it down the stretch during the 2021 season, then maybe St. Louis simply just wants to dump that contract. Aledmys Diaz is a player who's slightly above average according to the defensive metrics. He's in his final year of arbitration with the Astros, set to only make about $4 million. Been a good player off the bench, in and around the infield for the Astros. Why would they trade him? Probably not. $4 million on that roster is a great bargain. That's what he is projected to make by MLB trade rumors. Rockies would certainly have to give up something to get something, but he's a player that is most likely going to be blocked at the starting spot at shortstop and, hey, could become ultimately a necessity for Houston going forward. You also can say the same about Adalberto Mondesi, son of Raul Mondesi. He is in his second year of arbitration, scheduled and projected to make about $3.2 million from Kansas City. Nicky Lopez definitely usurped him this past year, did a great job defensively. We know Bobby Witt Jr. is set to really be the shortstop of the future for the Royals. So Mondesi, who's right now probably penciled in almost as a DH, could be a very intriguing player for the next 2 years. DeJong and Mondesi, both you'd keep around for those full 2 years until Tovar, you have to think, is ready. Elvis Andrews is another player that I've targeted as being a decent fit from Oakland. He is in the twilight of his career, set to only make about $7 million, at least on the Oakland's end. Texas did pay down a lot of his deal for the 2022 season. Rockies would need to keep him under 550 plate appearances, or a very lofty option would vest for 2023. And so, again, that's definitely something they're going to want to avoid at all costs. So they may just want to avoid him altogether, since there is that fear and that worry. And shoot, if Andrews is hitting the cover off the ball and he's batting at the top of your lineup, it's going to be really hard to justify moving him down in order to prevent his vesting option from vesting. We do want to thank all the people who came out to the fantastic watch party at the DNVR bar last night on the corner of Colfax and York for the Chiefs and Broncos. You know, we've got those going on all week long with the Avalanche, Nuggets. We've got Rams and Buffaloes. Basketball season is really starting to heat up. Come on down to the bar during the week, 3 to 6 p.m. We got drink specials, appetizer discounts. You know we serve Breckenridge beer. We've got their hard seltzer as well. We're serving Hassel Cattle Company beef. And you know, when you subscribe to thednvr.com, now just 50 cents for your first month, you do have access to the members-only Discord where you don't have to worry about politics. You can talk directly to hosts and diehard fans like yourself. You get extra raffle tickets when you come out to the watch parties as well. You know you get a much bigger beer when you're down at the bar. And you know what? If you already know that you want to be a part of thednvr.com, well, guess what? Sign yourself up for an annual membership and you will get a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. As I said, Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. They're also our official seltzer. That's right. It's Good Company Hard Seltzer, now available on the corner of Colfax and York at the DNVR bar. We're able to keep it in stock just barely for you guys. And you know that you can keep it in stock in your household with the 15-can sampler available at King Supers, Costco, just about anywhere. And know that Breckenridge Brewery is donating profits to the National Parks Conservation Association this year to help prevent forest fires. That's Breckenridge Brewery's Good Company Hard Seltzer, an easy choice for a great company. Football fans, I do need to talk to you right now because I know we all love an action-packed, high-scoring game. That's why this latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is it all but a lock to guarantee you win once a single point is scored. Seriously, that's it. New customers can bet just $1. New customers can bet just $1 on either NFL team to score, and when they do, you win $100 in free bets. It's that easy and rewarding. DraftKings customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score. With promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. My DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week is UFC 269. It's for the lightweight championship. It is the main event. got to go with the champ, Charles Oliveira. He's plus 140 right now over Dustin Poirier, who's a fantastic fighter. But you got to stick with the champ right now. It's not a huge payout for you, but hey, I've won the last 4 weeks. And yes, Norwich did draw Newcastle. Got to love that one. And Teemu Pukki did score. That was plus 450. I don't think I actually mentioned that on the pod. I did have it in my notes. So I understand if you're making a frowny face right now, like, it's easy for you to say that now. But got to go with Charles Oliveira as my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week to win plus 140 at UFC 269. I've also got three other players I think that would be a really good fit for Colorado for this next year and beyond possibly, but I don't think those deals can get done. Number one would be Taylor Walls of the Tampa Bay Rays, a kid who surprisingly got called up before Wander Franco. Everyone thought, hey, Rays are moving away from Willie Ibar. They go and trade him to Milwaukee, and he has a fantastic second half, really more than that, with Milwaukee as the Rays pick up a couple arms in the process. But Taylor Walls is a guy that has, you know, six more years ultimately before he hits free agency. And while he's not a household name, he's a guy that could be had a lot cheaper than others. And we know Tampa and Colorado do have somewhat of a trade history. I'm sure the Rays would love to try to get one back after that Hermen Marquez deal that at the time very much seemed like the Jake McGee for Corey Dickerson deal. But no, it will forever be remembered as the Hermen Marquez deal. And so I think there's probably a very small chance they do that. Also, does Colorado really want to block Ezekiel Tovar at shortstop in a couple years with Taylor Walls? No, but a little competition couldn't hurt. By that point, maybe Walls is over to third base. Maybe he moves out to center field, as we see some shortstop do, as we see some shortstops do during their playing career. Didi Gregorius is in the final year of his deal with the Phillies. He's set to make $15.25 million. Really too rich for the Rockies, unless maybe the Phillies even throw in a prospect Colorado's way to take that contract off their hands. I don't really see that being a fit. It still means that you got to go out and fill that spot in 2023. So I don't think that would happen. And along the same lines, Xander Bogaerts, he has one more year before he can opt out, which he's most surely going to do, even in somewhat of a down year. He is on the books for more years, but again, that option really looms large. And I think the Rockies would not want to have that kind of guaranteed money again on the books, or even have the fear looming as far as will he or won't he on the option. Now, he will opt out after next season, but what happens if he gets hurt? Needs Tommy John surgery, something crazy like that. Colorado is going to be on the hook for the remainder of that deal. And so Boston may be interested in shopping Bogaerts if they don't think they can lock him up long term. So you could see him out there on the market, but I just don't think he'd be a great fit for Colorado. Now, there are some internal options. There are about four internal options for the Rockies right now. Jack Blomgren and Ezekiel Tovar, shortstop options that played at Class A. No, those are not viable options for next season. Blomgren was drafted in 2020 out of the University of Michigan and is a little bit behind Tovar in the depth chart. Can play short, more of a second baseman, I think, probably at this point. But no, those guys are not ready. Now, there's another name that I've mentioned on the show before, speaking with Tom Souteris down in the Arizona Fall League, the hitting coach for the Hartford Yard Goats. Talked about this guy with Jeff Dooley, one of the announcers in Hartford. He's a young man by the name of Taylor Snyder. He's got a little bit of a pedigree, son of former big leaguer Corey Snyder. Played shortstop down in Hartford at the AA level. Did get some time up in AAA. And let me read you off these numbers. He batted .250 over the course of the season, .318 on base percentage, .523 slugging, most of that in the Eastern League of AA. He hit 30 home runs, 26 doubles, total of 57 extra base hits, had 77 RBI, stole 12 bases. He's 26 years old. That's probably a little bit older than you'd like for a rookie shortstop coming up. He'll be 27 or at least he'll be playing in his age 27 year next season. But those are some numbers that jump off the page and make you think, well, maybe this guy deserves a chance. And I mention him because Alan Trejo's numbers are even better. And he is 1 year younger. Now, Trejo did make his debut last year, ended up homering before Brendan Rodgers, which is kind of strange. You would have guessed that Brendan Rodgers would have homered numerous times before Alan Trejo, but no. Rodgers gets there first. Trejo gets the first home run. Looks okay, looks adequate at second base and shortstop, but the kid has fantastic defense. He's a year younger than Taylor Snider. He's only 25 years old this past season. Now, only hit 17 home runs, but hit 6 triples, 34 doubles. That's still 57 extra base hits. Same amount as Taylor Snider, the guy you might be salivating over now. Trejo had 72 RBI to Snider's 77 and actually had a higher slugging percentage, was 569 at Albuquerque, which, yes, we know is in a hitter's league. His on-base percentage was 324. And because he can play stellar defense right now, is a true shortstop, not a guy who can play shortstop, but maybe better suited at third base or in the outfield, which is what Taylor Snider did end up playing more of last year. He played 42 games in right field, despite those 38 games in shortstop. Trejo played 84 games at shortstop, 20 at second base, 2 at third base. Does he deserve a shot? I think there's a chance. I don't think his numbers jump off the page quite like Trevor Story's numbers did in 2015 before he got his opportunity in 2016. But at the time, it was very much thought, well, all right, I guess this player is going to get a chance. And ho-hum, Trevor Story goes out and is one of the greatest shortstops in franchise history. Will that be the case with Alan Trejo? I don't know. And I don't expect that, to be honest. But I think Alan Trejo could be one of those options. I floated this idea by someone in the last couple weeks. And the sentiment was, well, hey, if you can add maybe a Kyle Schwarber or a Jorge Soler or Nick Castellanos, something like that, you can spend your money wisely elsewhere. Well, then if your shortstop can pick it, that eighth or ninth in the lineup, and is making the league minimum, that's not a bad situation. That's not a bad situation. So Alan Trejo, we'll see what happens. We will see what happens this offseason. But if you start to hear rumblings or whispers that he could be the guy at shortstop, I think he deserves a chance. Kevin Krohn, I also want to mention, brother of CJ Krohn, the Rockies' first baseman. He signed a deal over in South Korea. He's going to join the SSG Landers of the Korean Baseball Organization. Signed a one-year deal worth $750,000 guaranteed. Played 47 games in the majors in 2019-2020. Let's get to the Winter League updates. We got El Harris Montero, one of those top prospects that came over in the Nolan Arenado deal. Did fantastic with the Yard Goats. Another guy who was mentioned extensively in that Jeff Dooley podcast last month. He's mostly been playing first base with Estrellas de Oriente, aka the Eastern Stars. Got off to a hot start. It's cooled down a bit, but overall batting 245 with 2 home runs, which does not seem like a lot in 30 games. It is. The league lead, I believe, is only 3, and that's mainly because in the Dominican Winter League, the baseball is very soft, has a lot more softness to it. Doesn't fly very well in the air, so homers can be very hard to come by. He's got 12 RBI, which is tied for 6th most in the league. He's got a 673 OPS, which is actually 5th in the league amongst qualified players. So he is continuing to make strides after somewhat of an injury-plagued season in 2019 and missing all of 2020, of course, during the pandemic, like many minor leaguers. Sam Hilliard, he's only gotten in about 3 games, most of them pretty recently. Does have a homer and 2 RBI in his 13 at-bats over 3 games. That's it so far for him. He's on the same club as Montero. Brian Servin and Ryan Rollison, they are together on Lycee. Servin, the catcher, who we may see this year, he's probably 3rd on the depth chart right now, unless Colorado goes out and signs more of a veteran catcher to be stationed in Albuquerque. But Servin has played in 8 games, only 2 for 19, but he's mostly been catching those Rollison outings. How about Ryan Rollison? As good as Montero has been, he's stood out quite a bit in the Dominican Winter League. I think Rollison has been even better, which you love to see. Over 5 starts, he's pitched 20 innings, has a 3.15 ERA, has a 1.10 whip, which is pretty good. The number that I like seeing the most, only 5 walks, 24 strikeouts. That's fantastic. It's one of the highest strikeouts per 9 for a starter in the league. He has been really, really good. And it's great to see him have that success because, again, 2020, no one had success. No one could do anything. And in 2021, yeah, he was in Albuquerque, so he learned what it's like pitching in AAA West, formerly the Pacific Coast League. And he had those 2 really rough, unlucky injuries with the appendectomy and with breaking his thumb on a comebacker. It's really great to see his progress. Now, Julian Fernandez is down there with Aguirre. He has thrown 5 2/3 innings, pitched to just a 1.59 ERA, only 3 Ks, 2 walks, but you like that progress that he's making. Yoan Ibar, which is a name you might not be too familiar with, but he's a left-hander that's actually on the Rockies 40-man roster. He was acquired last offseason for Christian Koss from the Boston Red Sox. Koss looked pretty darn good down in the Arizona Fall League. That could be one that the Rockies may want back. But for right now, Ibar, he's only pitched in 1 game, thrown 1/3 of an inning, gave up 2 earned runs. So he has a 54 ERA. And you know what? He may not really get another opportunity to pitch because it is all about winning in these winter leagues. And it's very much about what have you done for me lately. And so you know what? You go out and have a couple bad outings, or in this case, 1 bad outing. That's it. That could be your winter. The team's not going to trust you because they want to win games. This has a feel of the minor leagues when you look at some of the names or you look at some of the quality of play. There's also some names that will make you think, oh no, this is very much like a big league. But it may feel like a minor leagues when you look at some of the names. It is not played that way. It is played like it is the championship of all championships. It's exciting. If you ever get a chance to see it anywhere that is showing these games, you gotta watch some Dominican Winter League or the Puerto Rican Winter League as well. Chris Owings is playing down there. He hasn't signed a deal with Colorado, still a free agent, but he's with Licey along with Brian Servant and Ryan Rollison. He's batting 286, no homers, 5 RBI, playing a lot of outfield. He's one of those names that's been bouncing around as a potential. He's been one of those names that have bounced around as a potential shortstop option for Colorado. I just don't think so. I just don't think so right now at this point in his career with some of the injuries that he has battled. Do want to mention Willian Rosario going strong. That's right. Still playing pro ball, batting 250 in 10 games. A couple other interesting names that jumped out to me when I was looking at these rosters. Aaron Hicks is playing down there. He's one of those candidates. I think the Yankees may look to free up some finances on their payroll. And I think he'd be a good fit in center field for Colorado. Pujols is going strong down there. Hanley Ramirez, who we haven't seen in a couple seasons, is down in the Dominican Republic. Josh Reddick played 54 games at Arizona last year. Alfredo Simon, remember that name? Yep, he's still pitching down in the Winter League. And Yasiel Puig, just to name a few. I also noticed Rosel Herrera got into 1 game. Christian Adames is getting a lot of playing time. And Gonzalo Herman, remember him from 2015, 2016? Yep, all staying alive down in the winter leagues. Now in Puerto Rico, Dom Nunez is playing with Indios de Mayagüez. I don't think I nailed that one. I like getting my Spanish pronunciations correct. I don't think I got that one. Nunez started off slow, the opposite of Montero, and he's actually heated up at the plate. He's hitting 250 and 40 at-bats. They're in first place right now. He's got only 1 double, 1 homer, 4 RBI, but here's what I like most. He's got an 841 OPS right now, mostly aided by a 464 on-base percentage, and that's thanks to 15 walks, tied for 2nd most on the team. He's also cut down on his strikeout rate to 20%, Really, really love that figure. He was at 35% for last season in his rookie year, or really his first call-up in 2019. He was close to 40%. So big progress from both Dom Nunez and Elijah Montero. Also want to give a shout-out to Shelby Lackey, who's had a tough time in 2 1/3 innings during 4 different appearances, has given up 3 earned runs, so has a bloated 11-plus ERA. So super small sample size, but we know winning is important, so that could impact his playing time going forward. One thing trying to impact the world is Ball Aerospace and Technology. We've got some new information about them and their manufacturing plant in Golden. Now, they're looking for production technicians, and you can read the full description and apply at jobs.ball.com by searching for Golden. Now, this is a position on the front line of the aluminum beverage can production process at Ball's plant in Golden, and they've got a competitive $27-plus per hour rate with potential for increase at 6, 12, and 18 months on the job. You get comprehensive insurance, active the day of hire, 401k for retirement, stock purchase ownership program, and even potential for an annual bonus, not to mention probably one of the most prettiest commutes you could possibly think of, going in and out of Golden. So many benefits to work for a huge company like Ball. Text Golden to 77222 and you'll get linked to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or simply text Golden to 77222. We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef with Hassel Cattle Company. So damn good, you can now get Hassel Cattle Company Wagyu beef at the DNVR bar. That's right, we couldn't resist having these burgers in our own bar. You can get them at home at hasselcattlecompany.com, H-A-S-S-E-L-L, cattlecompany.com. They're hooking you up right now with a special holiday discount of 15% off your entire purchase when you use code DNVR15 at checkout. That's DNVR15 to save 15% this holiday season at hasselcattlecompany.com. Sticking with the holiday season theme, you don't know what to get as a gift or stocking stuffer? Well, you know that Manscaped has the tools to guarantee you to win this year's stocking stuffer, our white elephant competition. It's the performance package, and inside you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, liquid formulations, as well as a couple gifts. Be the ballsiest gift giver this holiday season with Manscaped by using code DNVR for free shipping and, more importantly, 20% off your purchase. Code DNVR at Manscaped. Well, finally, it's been something I've been waiting for all week, longer than that, but you know what? I've really tried to push it out of my mind as long as possible. It was an announcement on Sunday from the Golden Days Era Committee and the Early Baseball Era Committee. They met on Sunday to determine a few new Hall of Famers that would go in as part of the class of 2022 in Cooperstown. You just saw Larry Walker get in this past summer. They moved the ceremony back to September, of course. Maybe they'll have it on the normal time right now. It is scheduled for July 24th. And there are 6 new entries, 6 new Hall of Famers announced on Sunday. Let me tell you a little bit about the background process before I get to those names. Now, the Golden Days Era Committee featured candidates from 1950 to 1969, 9 former big leaguers and 1 manager. The Early Baseball Era Committee looked at those from prior to 1950. That included 7 Negro Leagues and pre-Negro Leagues legends, as well as 3 American and NL stars that comprised the 10-name Early Baseball Era ballot. Now, each committee had 16 members, a star-studded cast of folks on both committees, a lot of former ballplayers, Hall of Famers, names you know rather well. Of those 16 members, you had to get 12 votes. You had to get 75%, which we know to be that magic number to get in the Hall of Fame. On the Golden Days Era ballot, you had Dick Allen, Ken Boyer, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Roger Maris, Mini Mignoso, Danny Murtaugh, Tony Oliva, Billy Pierce, and Maury Wills. And of this group, it should be noted that Jim Cott, Tony Oliva, and Maury Wills were the only living people on either of the ballots. Of course, the Early Baseball Era ballot are from folks pre-1950, so none of these gentlemen are alive on that ballot, you had Bill Dolan, John Donaldson, Bud Fowler, Vic Harris, Grant Home Run Johnson, Lefty O'Doul, Buck O'Neill, Dick Cannonball Redding, Allie Reynolds, and George Tubby Scales. On the Golden Days era committee, just a couple of names to throw out there: Rod Carew, Fergie Jenkins, Mike Schmidt, Ozzie Smith, Joe Torre, as well as Major League executives Bill DeWitt, Ken Kendrick of the Diamondbacks, and Kim Ng. She was also part of that 16-member board used for the Golden Era committee. On the early baseball era committee, at Burt Blyleven, Fergie Jenkins, Ozzie Smith, and Joe Torre once again, and a couple media members and historians, one of which, Leslie Heafy, I got to meet a couple years ago at the Sabre Convention in San Diego. An incredible and amazing woman. She's fantastic. I hope to talk to her with her on the podcast at some point. You also had MLB's official historian, John Thorne, was a part of that. And when you're talking about players from pre-1950s and even pre-Negro Leagues, you need a guy like John Thorne in the room. So here were the six that comprised the class of 2022. Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Manny Mignoso, Tony Oliva, Bud Fowler, and the great Buck O'Neill. Now, I will tell you this. I was listening to the announcement on my phone. I was getting the updates faster than the announcements were being made on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. And so I saw Gil Hodges before he was announced. I saw Jim Cott even before Gil Hodges was announced. I saw Manny Mignoso because they had just said four people were going in. And so once those first three came up, I started imagining Buck O'Neill. I started imagining seeing Jeff Passan, Bob Nightingale alerts and updates that Buck O'Neill was the fourth one in. And I started to tear up a little bit. The fourth one came up, Tony Oliva. And I turned my phone off. I walked out of the room, decided to do some laundry, and I was so pissy that of those four that got announced, Buck O'Neill was not one of them. But what I neglected to realize in that moment, because I was just so out of my mind and excited for this announcement, was that four players from the Golden Days era had been elected to the Hall of Fame. That wasn't the early baseball era. There were two ballots, right? There was four on one and two on the other. But when I heard four, I go, okay, there's four in total. No. That was not the case. So a couple minutes later, popped the phone back on and saw someone tweet out, "Buck, yeah." And I said, "No." I said, "No. He's in? This travesty is not truly a travesty." Went back, picked back up the broadcast, heard Buck O'Neill got in, teared up, cried a little bit, sobbed, because the man is larger than life and someone that to me is the epitome of baseball and what it means to be a Hall of Famer. I grew up watching Ken Burns baseball, and Buck O'Neill was one of the most pivotal characters in that entire documentary. He wasn't a character, he was just himself, but he was representing all of the Negro Leagues, something that I had only briefly heard about to that point in my life. And so he was the voice. He was that representation for all of the Negro Leagues. And so that summer, when I went to Cooperstown, he was actually there signing in, I believe, in Ace Hardware, because every place downtown and in Cooperstown during induction weekend, they've got people signing. It's no longer an Ace Hardware. But he was there and got his autograph on a picture of him as a member of the Chicago Cubs, the first African-American coach in Major League Baseball. And from there, his legend only grew. And I honestly don't remember that chance occurrence. I remember it briefly. I can remember kind of standing there, seeing him sitting at the table. He might have even been wearing a Cubs hat at the time. But I had no idea so many other things behind the scenes, especially what he did in establishing the Negro League Museum in Kansas City. I had no idea about that. And then later on, when a special committee was made, I believe it was in 2006, and they were trying to get a big group of Negro League executives and players who had been missing for the last few decades and say, hey, let's make sure all of these folks are honored. One of them, which Effa Manley, the first female in professional sports in any Hall of Fame, owner of the Newark Eagles. And when they announced that Buck O'Neill was not one of those people in that group, that was shocking. And yet the man had so much class that he still went to Cooperstown and he inducted all of them. He was the keynote speaker for that group. And he died the next year of a broken heart. Maybe, I don't know. He should have been a part of that group. He needed to be a part of this group. And boy, am I relieved that he is. And it may sound crazy to say, but boy, oh boy, do I want to be in Cooperstown next summer for someone who's not going to be there, but someone who is most assuredly going to be celebrated like no other. So I'm so happy for Buck O'Neill and everyone else out there that loves him just as much, if not more. Now, a little bit of background information about some of the other folks. Gil Hodges is a name maybe you've heard about, played it for 18 seasons, mostly with the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers from 1943 to 1963, was on the original Mets club. He earned 8 All-Star Game selections, won 3 Gold Glove Awards at first base, hit over 20 home runs, 11 straight seasons, which is fantastic, drove in 100 or more runs in 7 straight seasons from 1949 to 1955, was on 7 pennant winners, 2 World Series champions, hit 370 home runs, when 300 or more homers was a big friggin' deal. When he retired for a right-hander, he was third most home runs by a right-handed hitter when he retired. Gil Hodges, 370, yes. He went on to manage the Senators and Mets for 9 seasons. And was the manager in 1969 for those Miracle Mets who finally got off the schneid and won their first World Series. So happy for him. And a few of my friends out there that were Brooklyn Dodgers fans or grew up in Brooklyn, and Gil Hodges, you know, one of the other stories I will say about Gil Hodges is that his widow, who I believe is 95 years old, still lives in the same house in Brooklyn that they raised their family, that she was there and listening. And so we hope that she is in good enough health to attend his induction in Cooperstown. Jim Cott, also part of that group, pitched it for 25 seasons. 25, won 283 games with the Washington Senators, Minnesota Twins, White Sox, Phillies, Yankees, Cardinals. 3-time 20-game winner, 3-time All-Star. Big number that jumps out, 16-time Gold Glove Award winner. That's the big one. His 625 career games started, ranked 17th all time. He's thrown 4,500 innings, that ranks 25th all time. And he is a guy that I never was convinced was a Hall of Famer. He is now. He is now. I did not jump out of my seat. He's a great baseball contributor, was a great announcer, was at Coors Field towards the stretch run in 2018. That was cool seeing him in the building in the back of the press room getting ready to do his job for the postseason. But regardless of what I may think about his career, Jim Cott's a Hall of Famer. Minnie Minoso, he starred in the Negro National League with New York Cubans from 1946 to 48. Finally debuted with Cleveland in 1949, played 17 seasons with Cleveland, White Sox, Cardinals, Senators, becoming the first Latin American player to appear in an AL or NL game. So he looms large in the heritage in Latin America, which is super, super important for that area of the world to be represented. Minoso finished 2nd in AL Rookie of the Year award voting in 1959. Was a 9-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove Award winner in left field. He led the AL in triples and stolen bases 3 times and finished his career with over 2,000 hits and a .299 batting average. Tony Oliva, the 2nd of 2 players who are still alive, and we do hope will be there in Cooperstown on July 24th of next year. He spent his entire big league career with the Twins. He was a player that I had heard so much about that to this day, if I were to bet money on if he were a Hall of Famer before today or really for the last couple of years, I probably would have said 75% says no, because I think I know all the guys in the Hall of Fame, but there's still 25% of me that says, I think he's in, because it always shocked me that he was never in the Hall of Fame and it took this long. He won 3 AL batting titles and led the league in hits 5 times with the Twins, was the Rookie of the Year in 64, 8-time All-Star, won a Gold Glove in right field in 1966, and also became the first player in AL and NL history to win batting titles in each of his first 2 seasons. He received votes in the AL MVP balloting for 8 consecutive seasons from 64 to 71, and finished his career with a .304 batting average. Yes, a career 300-plus hitter. Now, Manoso and Oliva are the 5th and 6th Cubans to earn election to the Hall of Fame, bringing the total number of elected Latin Americans to 17. So, awesome and diverse group that's only going to get even more diverse, because we also have Bud Fowler. Because we also have Bud Fowler. He's number 5 on our list of 6. He's often acknowledged as the first Black professional baseball player, signing the first contract to be a pro. He pitched, played second base for teams throughout the 1800s, throughout the late 1800s, after growing up in and around Cooperstown, New York, quite a coincidence. In 1894, Fowler helped form the Page Fence Giants, who later went on to become one of the all-time great Black barnstorming teams. And here's your note. Here's your Colorado connection. Fowler actually played professionally in Colorado. The 1885 Pueblo Pastimes. Pueblo had a pro team for a period of time, yeah. 1885 Pueblo Pastimes of the Colorado State League, which also included the Leadville Blues. Talk about hitting at altitude. Yes, there was a pro team up in Leadville. Fowler actually joins, you know, a small group of ball players who actually played professionally in Colorado. Of course, we want to add Roy Halladay, Rich Gossage to that list, since they were born and raised in Colorado. But Walker, we know, with the Rockies. We know Jim Thome played down in Colorado Springs with the Sky Sox in the early 90s when it was a Cleveland affiliate. Satchel Paige and numerous other Negro League ball players also participated here in Colorado in the Denver Post Baseball Tournament, which is also known as the Little World Series in the West. You can also add Joe Tinker of baseball's sad lexicon fame, right? Tinker to Evers to Chance, those Cubs teams that won in back-to-back years in 1908, 1909. Well, he actually played in the minors with the Denver Grizzlies in 1900. So we got another Colorado pro in the Hall of Fame, thanks to Bud Fowler. And finally, Buck O'Neill. Let's talk about him some more. He played, managed, coached, and scouted for nearly 8 decades. To me, is almost the voice of baseball. He became a beloved oral historian for the Negro Leagues at the end of the 20th century, as we know in Ken Burns' Baseball. We'll have to revisit that sometime this offseason. He broke into the Negro American League with the Memphis Red Sox in 1937, latched on at first base for the famed Kansas City Monarchs in 1938, remained with the club for nearly 2 decades until 1948, when he was named the player manager of the Monarchs, a role he would hold until 1955, became the first Black coach in AL or NL history in 1962 with the Chicago Cubs, was a scout for them, actually was the guy who signed Ernie Banks for the Cubs, along with a few other guys. And so I am overjoyed for all 6 of these gentlemen and their families and the baseball communities that they played in and their cities to see them represented. Of course, the Minnesota Twins are going to be represented rather well with Oliva and Cott, both as members of the Twins organization, but as 2 players who are alive. So it's going to be a lot about them. Gil Hodges, Minnie Minoso, Bud Fowler, and the great Buck O'Neill. The 2022 Baseball Writers Association of America election still going on. You can keep tabs on Twitter at not Mr. Tibbs, Ryan Thibodeau, doing a good job of tracking all of the Hall of Fame votes, at least all of the public ones, which are usually enough to give you an idea how close someone is or isn't. We know Todd Helton is looking to continue to make another step forward on the ballot this year. A-Rod, Ortiz are there for the first time. Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling all in there last year. Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, a couple other guys new to the 30-plus player ballot. That election will be announced on January 25th on the MLB Network. That will be another big day this offseason. Maybe MLB and the Players Association will maybe steal some thunder from that announcement. We hope there's some thunder stolen. I mean, not if it's Todd Helton, but we just want baseball back. Please announce that baseball is going to be back before the Hall of Fame announcement. I don't know that it will, because we haven't had any proposals from either side. Pretty sure there hasn't been a work stoppage in the past that's ever been settled in December. In fact, I know it. We got the holidays rapidly approaching. Make sure you go to dnvrlocker.com for your favorite swag. There's no supply chain issues there, but you can bet there really won't be much movement until January at the earliest between the players, between the owners, in figuring this out. There has to be some kind of clock, some kind of deadline to force the hand of each side. And right now, it's just the offseason. There's a handful of players that are probably sweating it out, saying, shoot, what's going to happen when we resume business as usual? I'm a free agent. What's going to happen? They're in the minority. And this also goes beyond this offseason. This goes to the next CBA. This goes on for the next 5 years until they come back to the negotiating table again and maybe try to move the needle. This is about the future of labor rights for the players. And so there just aren't those deadlines right now. But we'll do our best to make sure we keep you up to date with all of those negotiations, Rockies news, this, that, and the other. We love doing it. We're going to be doing it all week. We just got the week kicked off. Got an awesome string of shows coming for you. And one new guest we haven't had on before that I'm really excited to sit down and talk with this person. Make sure you're subscribed to the dnvr.com if you aren't already. You know you get tons of benefits. With that, you can follow us on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons. So for DNVR Sports, thank you for tuning in to the DNVR Rockies podcast. The folks at Green Mountain Dental Group deserve to take some credit for those smiling Colorado sports fans, especially our DNVR listeners who've switched to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years to make them their permanent family dentist. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and you will receive a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group, only 15 minutes from downtown Denver.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.